For a cycle last night, what a blessing. After, I can go for a cycle now after I've put the kids to bed. Still enough light. I didn't focus though because it has been raining all week and it was a bit of a wet affair, but it was great. Okay. John, are you feeling alone over there? Do you want to come closer? Are you alright? Actually, wait, let me just get this fixed. Okay, sorry, Josh, just a moment, just get these settings right. Okay. I started 2 weeks ago chatting about something that's really been a blessing to me. So if you've missed 2 weeks ago, I want to really encourage you to download the message. It goes with the one today. And I think it'll be good to have both, not just the one. So, I would encourage you to do that. Okay. I don't know if you heard, there's a little dog barking at the back. That's my daughter. Yeah, please excuse it. I don't know why, but from time to time she just decides that she's going to be a doggy now. A friend of mine, I don't know if it's worse, but a friend of mine has his boy. He's got one or two favorite characters that he likes. Like the one of them is from Fireman Sam. You know Fireman Sam, John? You should get to know him, brother. It's very important. Fireman Sam, but it's not Fireman Sam. It's one of the characters in the story. He really likes this guy. It's a very polite British little boy. This character, and he some days apparently he just decides today I'm going to be Mikey, and then he wears a little hat, and he speaks only English because his parents are not English, and he's very polite. And he does everything his mom says. So it's a joy to have this little boy in the house. And then on other days, he decides to be somebody else. And then he doesn't listen at all. He ignores his mom completely. He goes completely into character the whole day. It's hilarious. I saw him like that at church the other day. It was quite scary. The not-so-polite little boy, the other one. In any case, Abby sometimes barks. Any case, praise God for children. Okay, I got it. I've got a quote that I want to read you. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How can I do both? Okay. Let's do this. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you as we draw near to you. We know that you draw near to us, God. We thank you that as we meet together on this beautiful bank holiday weekend, where many are away and having fun, that we can have joy and fun in your presence, God, and we can have a good time here together, Father. And we thank you that that you are with us, God. You promise that you never leave us, God. And even with that confidence in our hearts, we know this morning that not only are we meeting with friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, but also we're meeting with you, God. And we thank you that we can enjoy your presence. We can enjoy the blessing of your presence. We can come and submit ourselves to your word now, God, in Jesus' name. And we ask that you would come and shape us, Lord, and you would mold us, God, and that your glory will be manifested in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. That your name be glorified over our lives, over the city, and over this nation, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry, just one. Have you noticed our new sound system? Do you like it? It's small, hey? Small and powerful, what a blessing. So we're trying to make it work so that we can install the speakers. Okay, great. So I'm looking at, I'm going on from what I touched on last time. I'm going to just put this on over here. Okay. Right, let's read from, where is that one that we read last time? Just here from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And so we looked at the fact that God is building his church. We looked at the glory of God rising over his church, rising over us. We looked at the invitation that there is for us to be a part of that. Invitation for us to not just exist, not just to survive, but an invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God coming. We looked at the fact that it's unstoppable. It's going to come. God's will be done. His kingdom is being established. And as scripture says, when the gospel has been preached in every nation and people have heard the word all over, then the end will come. And so we're close. But there's a few things here that I want to look at this morning, which is maybe more of the bad news part of this. Well, there's some bad news and some good news, okay, so just stick with me. And the thing is about the glory of God is, it's not something that it's something that he kind of is jealous over almost, and he protects, and it's not just for everybody. Anybody. And also, you know, scripture says God doesn't share his glory, which makes sense, because there's no one like him. There's no one like God. There's no one that compares with him. There's no one that comes even close to him. So it makes sense that there's nothing that is as glorious as God is. So there's nothing that should be ascribed glory as he is, as he should be. And let's look quickly at an example of that in Acts chapter 12. So on a set day, Herod, this is King Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of God, the voice of a God and not of a man." So they were giving him glory. They were saying he's a God. Okay. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Okay, so don't worry. I don't think anybody here is in danger of being eaten by worms. But that's kind of, we see there that this is something that we need to be aware of, that God does not share his glory. He does not give it to anybody else, and we shouldn't either. Okay. Now, the challenge that we face is that the glory that God is bringing upon the church and upon us as individuals is something that there's something that needs to happen before that can work, before that can happen. If we look at, for example, at the life of Joseph, if you remember, I'm not going to read the whole thing now, but Joseph as a young man, clearly incredibly gifted. Go and read the account, it's really encouraging. Incredibly gifted young man. He's gifted to have dreams and visions, and but also to interpret dreams and visions. But now, as a young man, he is arrogant. He's full of himself. You know, he's proud, conceited, and he gets these visions or dreams from God, and he makes a mistake of sharing them with as many people as he can, which is a challenge, because it's not. And I think we do that often. We assume that whatever we hear from God, we should tell. And it's not always the case. You know, there's often a place where God lays something on our heart to pray for somebody, or it's not necessarily immediately to blurt it all out. But Joseph, young and, you know, full of issues, like I suppose we all have, he goes and tells his brothers, and they're not so pleased with what he's saying. He's basically saying that they're going to bow down to him. Okay, and I've heard somebody say the other day that's the worst thing that can happen to a person is that they are successful before they are ready, and that's kind of what was happening in Joseph's life. Because if the glory of God was manifested in his life at that stage, with that pride, with that, you know, this arrogance, he probably it wouldn't probably have been glory to God. It would have been, he would have accepted the glory, if I can put it like that. So then we see this thing, this process that happens in Joseph's life. He gets, his brothers want to kill him. And then the last moment they decide, oh, they'll just sell him, make a bit of a profit. So they sell him as a slave, and he goes off to Egypt, the whole story. And for about 20 years, there's a preparation process that happens. For about 20 years, God works with Joseph in prison, as a slave, then in prison, although he was not, he was innocent. So we see this process happening in Joseph's life up to the point that the glory of God can be revealed in his life. Are you with me? So, and that's kind of that process that I want to look at this morning. But the powerful thing is that years later, when Joseph, is pulled out of prison literally and becomes like basically the prime minister, crazy kind of promotion. When that happens, he's ready. And when he faces his brothers, and when they actually do bow down to him, not knowing that it's him at that stage, he doesn't glory in himself. He gives all glory to God. And he encourages them, and he's actually ready. He's at a place where he's forgiven his brothers for that they wanted to kill him, and that they sold him as a slave, which is quite a tough one. But he's done that. He's forgiven them. He's worked through that process of sanctification, and he's at a place where he recognizes the hand of God in that, even in that crazy season that he had of, being a slave, being imprisoned as an innocent man, all those things happening in his life. But now he is at a place where he can walk into his purpose and really have the glory of God visible on his life to such an extent where it's actually just God uses him to be, to make provision for millions of lives because of the famine. Okay. So let's look at a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And you've heard me mention this one quite a few times the last couple of months. But even in this situation with Joseph, this is it. Kind of the picture here is that the glory is always the treasure in the vessel, not the vessel itself. And the problem comes in is when the vessel, where you and I want to take glory, or when you and I want to make it about ourselves rather than the treasure. And it's similar with the body of Christ itself as a collective. When the body becomes the most important thing, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's when things get dodgy. It's the treasure that is the most important thing. And so in this scripture we see again it's earthen. It's an earthen vessel. So there's flaws, there are probably cracks and maybe some holes. And I always see in my mind's eye, I see like a picture of a clay pot. My mom actually is a ceramicist, which is a clever word for somebody that makes the stuff out of clay. And so I know I can really visualize this because I did break quite a few of the stuff she made when I was little. And so there's a fallibility there. There's not perfect. It's handcrafted, and the reason why the vessel is not perfect is so that the treasure, that all the glory is the treasures. Nothing goes to the vessel. Okay, so that's kind of the picture we have as we go into this. Okay, so now this process in us, this, like I mentioned, the process of sanctification, and it's compared in Scripture to a purifying fire, which doesn't sound like good news. Okay, let's have a look at Isaiah 48 from verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another. Now, so this might be the bad part of it, but the bad news is that for the glory of God to be revealed in us, and for the glory of God to be manifested in our life, there's going to be a process of purification. It's going to be a process of sanctification, because God is not willing to share His glory with anybody else. And He's not willing to have us represent Him and misrepresent Him, okay? And if one looks at the picture of a furnace, I'm reminded of the process by which gold is extracted from rocks. Have you seen that happen? Where I come from, gold is like plentiful. Okay, so it's not like you can pick it up off the ground. But under the earth, you know, in the area where I grew up, it's a lot of gold and a lot of gold mines in the area. So we've been to some of those, you know, you go quite deep into the ground. It's quite cool to go down in a mine, by the way. It gets quite hot down there, just if you're wondering about that. But the interesting thing is that the rock that is extracted from the earth gets put through a process to get the gold out. Because the rock is like rock. Nobody's really interested in the rock. People want the gold, okay? So there's extreme stuff that happens to this rock to get the good stuff out, okay? It's not comfortable for the rock. Okay, first it gets, you know, I don't know all the details, but there's lots of crushing going on, and then there's extreme temperatures that these things are put through so that the impurities can rise to the top, and that the impurities can be removed, and that what remains is pure gold. Beautiful. They have these, some of those places, they have this gold bar that sits there. And if you can pick it up with one hand, you can keep it. Okay. Yeah, the challenge is, yeah, have you seen a gold bar? It's got sloped sides. And they polish that thing. It's so slippery, you can't hold it. even if you're strong enough, because obviously it's very heavy. But now, so there's this process that happens, this purification process, there's extreme pressures, there's extreme temperatures, and only through that process that the stuff that is that we don't want is taken away, and what remains is pure and beautiful and glorious. So that is the bad news here, is that if you and I have a desire to have the glory of God manifest in our lives, there's a promise in Scripture that we will experience a purification. There will be a sanctification process, and there will be a furnace that we have to go through. Okay. Now, again, you know, this is not. This is not a heavy. This is a. For me, in my mind, it works like this. If when I'm training for something, or when I'm facing a situation, or when I'm climbing a mountain or whatever, it's good for, in my mind, it's good for me to know what I'm facing. And once I've made peace with, this is the distance I have to run, or this is the distance I have to cycle, or this is the height of the mountain, are you with me? Then I can kind of, okay, let's do it. I remember the first year we did that cycling tour around South Africa, praying for the country. The first year we did it, because it was the first time, it was literally the first time anybody had ridden that route. Okay, so it was kind of new. And I remember our leader, Andres, he had driven it by car, the route, but he'd never cycled it. Okay, so now it was every day we'd do about an average 150 kilometers. And then towards the end of the day, we would want to know, you know, How far have we got to go? And then Andres would inevitably, very optimistic, say, no, this is the last climb. This is the last climb. And then we're there. And then it wouldn't be, you know, then we're like about five or more, you know, because he, you know, having only done it in a car, you can't really remember those things. And so we had after about a week, we didn't believe him at all. But that's very discouraging, you know. If you're thinking, okay, this is it, I'm giving everything, I'm going to make it to the top here, and then I'm going to be there. And then you realize, no, this is not the end. The one day we thought we had the last climb, and then it was the next one, and then the next one, and we went until 9:30 in the evening. And there was another day which we spent literally 17 hours in the saddle. Yeah, it gets painful. Not only the legs, the backside. Okay, but in any case, so there's a thing of having an idea of what you're facing, have an idea of what's going to come, and then kind of bracing yourself, say, yes, you know what, this is worth it. I want to do it. I'm going to go for it. When you're training for a marathon or something, you realize, I'm going to have to do these amount of kilometers every week. You make the calculations in your head and you say, yes, I'm going to go for it. It's similar for this. It's called counting the cost. When we want to walk with Christ, we want to see his kingdom come in our lives. We want to see his glory manifest in our lives. Scripture talks about us counting the cost. Saying, okay, this is what's going to cost me. I'm going to have to lay down my life. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to go through a purification process so that Yaku can be extracted and Jesus. More of Christ and less of me. Amen? More, you know, less of all the nonsense that's in there, but more of the glory of God in me. Amen? And that process is not comfortable. Okay, so that's one of the costs of following Christ is, and maybe, I don't know if it's bad news for somebody today, but comfort, it's not high on the list, okay, guys? It's like when you become a parent. I'm sorry if I use this example a lot because I'm a relative new parent and I'm still kind of wrestling through these things. But comfort goes out the door, okay? Yeah, it's great. Because you get that selfish rock is just removed. It's slowly but surely it's extracted. It's selfishness that we all have. I know you guys are not selfish. You guys are amazing. But when I became a parent, when I got married, and then when I became a parent, I realized I'm not the good Christian guy I thought I was. There's lots of this selfishness in me. Any case, so that stuff gets, comfort goes out the window, and we go through this furnace, this purifying furnace, okay? Now, even when we look at the life of Christ, and this is a bit sobering, Christ was God in the flesh, okay? But Christ left his glory to come and be a man. And Scripture says Christ learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So even in the life of Jesus, there was a process of, through suffering, there was a process of things being established in his life. Amazing, eh? If you think about it. Even the Son of God, to be fully human, to fully be able to identify with us and take our place on the cross, he had to become fully human, to be tempted like we are, to face the same challenges that we face, but also to suffer. Obviously, his life ended with the greatest suffering anybody can ever bear because he did that on our behalf. So we don't have to, praise the Lord. Okay, so at least we know that one Jesus covered for us. But for us to partake in that and to become like him, there's some suffering there. Okay, I don't know, the good news is coming. Okay, now I want to ask you something. Is anybody here prayed for patience before? I have. Okay. God, Lord, give me patience. Anybody prayed for like godly stuff? You know, Lord, I want to love people. Or I want to be more like Jesus. Have you prayed that prayer? Okay, guys, that's dangerous. You know that. God takes you seriously. Okay. So if you've prayed prayers like that, all I can say, it's not my fault. It's your own fault. Okay. I've learned if you ask God for patience, he's going to give you opportunity to be patient. Amen. If you ask to be more like Christ, there's a cost, guys. Amen. So what I'm saying, the gist of this, if this is the one thing that you take from this morning, is that in this life, as I'm going to get to that scripture, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trials. It's a given. It's part of the mountain. When we see it, when we come to Christ, that's why I don't like it when people hear the gospel and they tell you, you know what, try Jesus. He's going to solve all your problems. Tomorrow, your garden all the roses will be blooming. You're going to get a raise at your job. All your problems will go away. Okay? That's not the truth. The truth is, you have eternal life. But right here, there's going to be some challenges. Amen? For Christ to be shaped in us, there's some stuff that needs to come out. For glory of God to come in my life, there's some serious work that God needs to do in me. I don't know about you guys. You guys are almost there. I've still got a far way to go. So there's a challenge that when we come to Christ, we don't count the cost. I used to say this, guys. I used to say to somebody, you know what? God has got a plan for your life, which is the truth. God's got an awesome plan. It's gonna be amazing, which is all the right thing. But if you say that and you don't say there's a cost, you're only giving the person half the story. Amen? So if you're that person this morning, I'm not joking about this now, if you're that person and you've come to God and you've had only half the story, then I need to pray with you afterwards. Amen? So that you and I can face up to the fact that I have a cross to bear. And there's a price. But it's worth it. 100%. 200% worth it. Amen? It's worth it every time. Maybe moms can relate to this. The pain, the 9 months and more of not, it's not again, comfort goes out the window when you're pregnant, apparently. I don't know, I think maybe that moms can relate to that. And the pain of giving birth and the pain of the process. But then they go for it again. Amen, because it's worth it, apparently. I'd say. Hallelujah. Yeah, I read a quote which really blessed me by Randall Smith. He says, let me just get the whole thing here. He says, we have reversed the biblical idea of blessing and curse. We've kind of gotten things mixed up. He says, a blessing in the Bible is that which drives me to my knees and causes me to know how much I need my God. That's a blessing. Draws me nearer to God. Something to think about. A curse, he says in the Bible, is that which gives me the illusion that I can depend on myself and I'll be just fine. How often when we face stuff that brings us to our knees and kind of puts us in a situation where we cry out to God, we think, you know, the devil is gunning for me. He's trying to get me. Obviously, there is an enemy. Obviously, we under attack often. But the blessing is that which drives me to my knees. A blessing is that which makes me run to God and makes me realize how much I need Him, how much I have to depend on Him. That's a blessing. I don't know about you guys, but I've experienced, like Joseph, you think this is a blessing, and actually it just drives you further from God because you're full of pride and you're arrogant and you just... A blessing is what draws us close to Him. So a big part of this purification and furnace qualifies as that. It's a blessing because it brings us to our knees and we realize, I need Him. I need Christ. I need Him. I need to depend on God. Amen. And I can. Hallelujah. Let's have a look at 1 Peter. Okay. No response. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you'd greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be. He's being very politically correct here. Peter is being kind of not like him, hey, to be like polite like this. If need be, you have, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, greatly rejoice, even in this. Even, and he says, for a little while, if need be. Maybe it's not necessary for everybody. Hallelujah. If need be, that you have been grieved by various trials. And the powerful thing is that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found. How? Why? What's the purpose of it? To praise, honor, and the glory of revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Okay, this is a well-known scripture, but not a very popular one. Okay, I've often, you know, either you're in the situation yourself, or you're counseling somebody that's going through a rough time, and you say to them, you know what, character building. Isn't that the last thing that you want to hear when you're going through a difficult time? And somebody says, no, don't worry, you know, building character. It's like, I don't care about character right now. This is hell, you know, this is hectic stuff. But he's saying, we glory in tribulation. In other words, we rejoice in it. We're not excited about it, but we realize what God is doing. We realize that there's something precious that's happening here. And guys, I spoke to a friend of mine the other day. I don't want to give you too much detail, but they had a baby recently. That could be many people. His wife got very ill. Well, the baby was a couple of weeks old. Then both the older children got ill. And they've just come out of probably the roughest year of their lives last year. Okay, so I'm praying with them in this, and they're getting it from every side. It's really, they really don't know what to do anymore. It's really rough. Okay. And as I'm praying for him, the Lord shows me this thing, and I said to him, listen, I just feel that God is saying that people that you don't even know are watching you and are observing what's happening, and through the way you handle this, God will be glorified. Even in this very painful, you know, it was a couple of weeks, even in this thing, God will be glorified. Even in the way that you handle this thing, in the way you give glory to God, in the way you praise Him, in the way you handle yourself, and in the way you carry this cross, His name will be glorified. And I just want to encourage, maybe you in a spot like that where things are heavy, things are coming from every side, where sometimes even the burdens feel too heavy to bear. I want to encourage you that you don't even know who's seeing the glory of God arising over you as you wrestle with that thing. I remember this is not even a big heavy thing, but just in a little small instance that when I had to resign from the Air Force and I couldn't study anymore, my whole everything around me that I was kind of depending upon way back as a student kind of collapsed. And I remember a friend of mine. At the end, as I was leaving the residence, he said to me, and I wasn't aware of this, but he said it was so amazing for him to see through all these heavy things happening, and then stuff got stolen from me, and all kinds of stuff happened, and he just said he couldn't really get to grips with the fact that I was so at peace, and I wasn't, you know. And I didn't feel at peace, to be honest. Praise the Lord. But it was something that God was doing in him, just observing what was happening in my life. And I wasn't aware, if we didn't have that conversation, I would never have known. I wouldn't have known that there's something else that could have come out of this, except obviously God doing something in my own life. But even while I was wrestling through these things, God was working in people around me. Even in that, it wasn't even such a heavy thing. And I want to say to you, there's stuff that you're working through, and there's stuff that's happening in your life, and people are seeing. And let's pray that that they would taste and see that God is good, even in the midst of that. Okay, what is really glorious in somebody's life when? Okay. When everything is going right and, you know, we testify of God's goodness, and please, God, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But there's one thing to say, you know, the Lord blessed me with a Ferrari this week. I mean, that's amazing. But there's something else to say, you know, I've gone through this trial. I've endured, like my friend, we're all sick and there's disease, you know, stuff happening and from every side. But God is good and He's brought us through it. He sustained us. That's glorious, guys. That's amazing. That's something else. That's not. It's blessed to testify of His provision, of His grace in our lives. But there's something else that, when we've been tested, when we've been through the fire. I mean, let's have a look at John 16. This is with a promise. Okay, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. That in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So there's one of those promises that we don't want to put on the mirror or on the, you know, on your desk. But Jesus says it's going to be there. If you want to follow me, it's going to be there. Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Even in it, be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome it. Whatever you're going through, He's already overcome. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, Jesus has already overcome it. That's only when we look to Him we're able to receive the grace that we need for what we're going through. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to just have a look at the scripture again that I looked at previously. That I started with. And we look at the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 from 7 to 11. But we have this treasure, as we read before, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now look at the context. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Powerful is this. And now when Paul says these things, guys, understand that he's not theorizing about it. He's not wondering what would it be like. He's living it. I mean, he's been shipwrecked. He's been flogged to the inch of his life. He's been there, okay? He's been stoned. Not on drugs, but killed with rocks. Literally, he got raised from the dead. I mean, he was dead under rocks, you know. And then in the end, he was martyred, okay? It's okay. That didn't end very well for him. But how glorious is that? How glorious is that that he can say, guys, I've been there. I've been through the worst of it. But I'm not in despair. When he says all those things, you know, hard pressed, but not crushed. There's lots of stuff, but we will not be crushed because Christ is with us. Perplexed. How often do we do like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's coming next. I'm not sure. I'm a bit insecure still. You know, I don't know what God has prepared. But I'm not in despair because He is with me. Amen. I'm persecuted. Stuff, you know, people coming against me, but I'm not forsaken. He's with me. I'm struck down. Maybe, you know, we fall, we miss it, we get these things get us down. But I'm not destroyed. I will get up again. I will go for it again. Amen. The life of Paul, he's not saying maybe this, maybe that, guys. This is somebody who's lived it. Amen. And then he says why. He says we suffer with Christ so that the life of Christ can be manifested in us. They have the dying to the flesh happening in our lives so that the resurrection power of Christ, so the resurrection life can be manifested. That's glorious. It's when people around us look and say, wow, the stuff that you've gone through and you're glorifying God, that's glorious. That's beautiful. That is gold that is being taken from the rock and that brings glory to God. That's amazing. When you look at examples in Scripture, look at guys like Daniel choosing not to obey the law, but to worship God, ending up in the pit. He's got some stories to tell. There in the pit with the lions, guys, it wasn't so cool. Okay. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, being chucked in the fire, in the furnace, they thought this scripture was just like as an illustration, but they ended up in a real furnace. Okay. That's not so cool either. Got stories to tell, but how powerful is that? Right there in it, Christ is glorified because he's with him in the furnace, right there. Worst place you can imagine, in hell itself, it feels to them like. And Christ is glorified in it. Amen. That's beautiful. That's glorious. I heard an incredible testimony the other day I told you about this lady that was in a Thai prison for 16 years, right? Please, if you haven't listened to that, go and listen to it. It's on the Shofar Pretoria website, on the downloads, okay? Vanessa Gusen is her name. Gusen. And she went through hell in there. When she was taken into prison for drugs, carrying drugs that she weren't her drugs, she was pregnant already. So she had a baby in there. She spent 16 years there. What do you do with that? And how's that blessed? How's that glorious? She got born again in prison. And then she started to wrestle with the will of God for her life. And then basically they started a church. And people were getting born again. People were getting saved and healed. And then there was persecution. People were being pulled out because they saw, these guys are going for it. So they put them all over the place in different prisons. And they think, she was complaining to God. Why is this happening? And then when she heard again, all those guys were starting similar things in the different prisons. Powerful is that? I can't imagine for one moment going through what she gone through. But it's glorious. And a powerful thing that I heard, I'm like, please go and listen to it. But at the end she said, she was applying for amnesty, applying for a sentence to be shortened year after year after year. Special, decree of the king or something like that. And then she was applying again. And then she felt God saying, listen. And she just had this conviction. He basically said, I will not allow you to be here 1 second longer than you need to be here. God is sovereign. And after that, actually, she actually was released. But just the understanding that even after 16 years, God will not allow you to go through this thing that you're going through for 1 second longer than is necessary. He is sovereign. His hand is upon you. Sometimes it feels like you're going to die now. And she almost did once or twice. But he will not let you be crushed, because his glory will be revealed. I heard another powerful testimony of a 19-year-old guy, young man, training to be a minister, passionate for God, ready to go preach the gospel. And he was working with youth at the time, in the UK. And he was surfing, so it must have been, there's only a handful of spots. But anyways, he was surfing with these youth, these guys, these young guys he was working with. And a shark came. I don't know this, but apparently, there are also sharks. But I actually don't know where this happened. But his legs were bitten off. This is okay. This is a bit gross. Okay, but his legs were chowed off, and he was busy dying. He had a couple of seconds. And all the young guys were around him, and they were panicking, obviously afraid, didn't know what to do. There's no chance of actually saving this guy's life, type of thing. And this is not. This doesn't sound like a good situation, okay? But listen to this. Listen to what this guy chooses to do with the last couple of seconds. He's not afraid. He's not panicking. He says to the guys, okay, relax quickly. Be quiet. And he says to them, listen to me. I love Jesus. I'm going to be with him. I love him. And I want you to choose to follow him as well. I want you to make that most important decision to follow Christ. I want you to spend your lives following his glory and his purpose for your lives. Those young, impressionable boys, you know. And he says, remember one thing. I want to see you up there. One day, I want to see you in eternity. And now you think, wow, this is a horrible situation. I mean, this guy is dying. But that's glorious right there. This young man is barely, he's 19. He decided to choose, this is what he's going to do with his last couple of seconds. Going to make sure that he leaves something in the hearts of these men, these young guys. That's glorious. In that moment, there's no fear, there's no panic. In that moment, he realizes this is an opportunity. Guys, and that's glorious. This stuff we go through, obviously, I mean, it's a blessing to say God has blessed me with this, and we've got a new car or a great job or something, and that's amazing. You know what? That is amazing. But how much more glorious is when we're in going through hell, or we're going through a process, and we're going through difficult stuff, and we say, you know what? I've been down, but I'm up again. I'm choosing to follow him. I'm choosing for the glory of God to be revealed, for less of Jacob, but more of Christ in me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's a choice that I make. Amen. Okay, let's close. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run with endurance, guys. Let us push through it. Let us recognize it's going to come. Those tough times will come. Those trials will come. Those tribulations will be there. But let the glory of God manifest it. And when you're in it, when it's at its most uncomfortable, choose to praise God. Say, Lord, you know what? This is worth it every time. I will choose you every time again because I want Christ established in me. I want your name to be glorified in my life. I'm not in this for the limelight, or I'm not in this for whatever the blessing. I mean that your name be glorified. Amen. Okay. Then Philippians 1 there from verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even when we're in the most difficult circumstance, even when we're in the tough season, even when we're going through the fire, even when we're in the furnace, know that he is completing the work. Amen. He will not leave you halfway. Jesus didn't go halfway on the cross. He went all the way. Isn't that a comforting thing? He doesn't do stuff halfway. Have you ever started something and didn't finish? I've often, a couple of times. Jesus is not like that. Praise the Lord. The work that he started in you, he will finish. And it will be to his glory. Hallelujah. Nobody else's. Let's stand this morning. Okay, so even when we know the kingdom of God is coming, even when we know it's unstoppable, his glory will arise. And there will be a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We know this. It's going to happen. And part of the invitation for us to be a part of that is that understanding that there are going to be some uncomfortable times. There's going to be some rough times. There's going to be some hills, some mountains. There's going to be some battles. And this morning, there's a decision, there's a choice we can make, guys. Say, Lord, you know what? If I'm going through this, in any case, you can just as well be glorified in it. Amen. So in every season, in every difficult spot, I want to encourage you guys, don't run away from God. Don't avoid him. Don't Don't shy away from His presence because of a difficult situation. Run to Him. And God's not offended if we ask Him about stuff. Lord, why is this happening? But don't ask in terms of like a child that's throwing their toys out of the cot. Don't ask like that. Ask so that you can understand why. Then you understand the process. That you can work with Him. I've got bad news for somebody here this morning. When we resist, we just slow it down, guys. Okay? When we're not working with Him, we just prolong it. Pastor Fred always says, you know, when you're going through hell, don't stop there. Keep moving. Okay? Don't resist what God is doing. Don't kick against it. You don't want to camp out there. This is not good. This is not a good place. But keep moving through it. Keep moving with Him. Okay? Choose to embrace what God is doing. Choose to embrace the process. And choose more than anything that His name be glorified. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, we humbly come, Father. We recognize, Lord, that we are inherently selfish people. Inherently, we like comfort and we like to be okay. God, but at the same time, we want You to be glorified in our lives. And this morning, as a body, Lord, we want to choose, God, to say, Lord, whatever it may take, Lord, we recognize that there's a cost. We recognize that there's no comfort involved. We recognize that there's suffering and there's trial. There are trials and there are tribulations. But as a body and as a church, Lord, we want to say, yes, God, whatever it takes, Lord, for You to be glorified in our midst, we want to be part of that. Because that's why we are here. That's why we exist. It's for Your glory alone. And as individuals, Father, we also come before You. And I pray for every heart here, every person. Hearts that have been disappointed or discouraged, Lord, or just tired or weary. Thank You this morning, Lord, for strengthening in the knowledge that You will finish what You started. But also a hope in the knowledge that Your name will be glorified in this, Lord, in Jesus' name. As we choose, Lord, to submit to Your will, as we choose, God, to embrace what You're doing, as we choose, God, we say, God, let Your name be glorified in this. Even in the fire, even in the furnace, God, even in the most horrendous of circumstances, God, we ask, let Your name be glorified. Let the pure gold remain. Let Christ increase in us, Lord. That there will be less of us and more of Christ, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, more than anything, when people watch us, when people observe, God, we ask that You would have grace upon us, that they would be blessed, Lord, that they would taste and see that You are good. And even in the trial, that people will see Your goodness in our lives and see Your glory manifested, Lord, in Jesus' name. As every eye is closed this morning, if you want to make that choice, if you want to say, Lord, it's been rough and it's been hectic and I haven't always known why, I haven't always understood, but I want to choose this morning to glorify Your name. I want to choose to praise You even in the midst of the fire. I want to choose to say, yes, God, whatever it takes, I want to see Your glory upon my life. I want to be a part of Your kingdom being established. Let it be more of Christ and less of me. Lord, if that's Your, as every eye is closed, if you want to make that decision and say, Lord, I want to live for Your glory. If you want to just raise your hand just to indicate to God. If you feel you need to respond to that word, if you want to do that now. Amen. Thank You for those. So Father, You see every heart, Lord. You see every hand. You can drop your hand now. Thank You. You see every heart, Lord. You see every hand, Father. And I thank You that we can together, Lord, we say, yes, God. We live for Your glory, Lord. Let there not be one trial more. That is that we are selfish and we are prideful and we miss it. We miss the purpose of it, Lord. Let everyone be to Your glory. Let every tribulation, let every challenge, let every hill we climb, let every furnace we go through, bring glory to your name, God, in the name of Jesus. As a church, Lord, the wrestling we go through, the battles we face, the trials we go through, Lord, let your name be glorified. Let pure gold remain, Lord. Let there be nothing else but Christ, Lord. Let people come in here that they might meet him, Lord. That they might forget our names, Lord, but that they will know you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. I just pray for your peace over every heart now, God, in Jesus' name. Peace even in the storm. Peace even in the battle. Peace in the furnace, Lord. And I thank you for a confidence that you are faithful to finish the good work that you have started in us until the day of Jesus Christ. We give you glory, Father. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you that we can look to you. And I just have this picture of such critical as the scripture we just read. Fix our eyes upon Christ. And I just want to encourage every person and pray over every person for a grace, God, for them to fix their eyes upon you, Lord. I just feel there's many here that are putting their eyes on everything else. They are getting discouraged. They are weighed down because their eyes are in the wrong place. God, I thank you for grace to fix our eyes upon you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When one does mountain biking, the key thing is not to look at the obstacle. It's to use a peripheral vision. You're aware of the rock, you're aware of the tree, but you look where you want to go. It's just a tip, okay? If you look at the tree, you will hit the tree, okay? I can talk of experience. I've hit some trees. But in life, it's similar, guys. If you focus too much on the obstacle, you're going to hit the obstacle, okay? Because it's going to hurt. If you focus on Christ, that's where you're going to go. Amen? Are you with me? So be aware of it, peripheral vision. We're aware of that. We're not blind, okay? We know their problems. We know their challenges. We know their trials. But focus on Christ. And that's where you're going to go. Amen. If you want to pray with me, or if you want to just respond to the word, please come to the front. If you have sickness in your body or you have a need, guys, I've got great news. Jesus hasn't changed his mind about healing us. Amen. So please join me in the front. If you are discouraged, if you've been facing stuff, rough things, and you need to just agree with me in prayer or agree with somebody in prayer, please come to the front. Amen. I feel there's a grace this morning to lay down burdens. There's a grace to choose to worship him. And there's a grace to receive his grace for the situation. Okay? God bless you. Thanks for being here when everybody else is out on a bank holiday weekend. Sally, you just want to share.
Just to say that what we prayed in intercession was exactly what Yaku is preaching. So I know we had no idea what was coming, but we know that this is a specific word for someone or people. So don't harden your heart and lay down that pride or whatever it is. And like Yaku said, there's a grace here. And I really believe that because God had already prayed it. We'd call forth things into being. So if it's you, yeah, don't go home and miss out on the grace that's sufficient.
Thank you. Yes, okay. So please join us in the front if you want to pray. God bless you. Enjoy your bank holiday. Woo! If you have nothing to do, I've got some work in the garden at home. So just kidding. Oh, well, if you're welcome. God bless you. Have a good week.